Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Turned down for what? Who knows? Everybody has their own reasons, their own agenda why they turned down. But hey, it's show 113 of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. Sean, what's going on?
Well, man, it's always great to be on here on the double with you, my partner, my co-host. And man, it's going to be a great week, a great show today. And we've got a couple of cool guests, man. Of course, you having the chance to work with one, and then of course the other guest works with the prominent radio station up in Seattle. So we got some cool things going on. But you know, let's get back to the basics. And you know, you are getting around and doing some things, but nobody knows where you are half the time, man. But I believe you're up in the Pacific Northwest, and you're getting ready to take off here soon. So where to?
That's right, Sean. You know, maybe we need to play that Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego one more time, because last week I was at the original DSX Studios in Richland. And this week I am, yes, along the Puget Sound region, waiting to fly at 5 a.m. Tuesday West Coast time all the way to Philadelphia for the next air quotes work and air quotes work gig, and have a few games for the Globetrotters and the Washington Generals in Wildwood, New Jersey. So it'll be a fun time.
Well, you know, we got to check with I'm just a co-host. That's all I am. All I do is I plug in here at our Elk Grove Studios and get things going. But man, is it in the budget that we have these studios all around the country, all around the world? I've got to look into this, man. You got to let me in on what's going on, because it's just amazing that you're able to set up and do some all these cool things. I'm being facetious, people who are listening. But it's awesome. It's awesome that you're getting ready to take on the task of being the head coach once again for the Harlem Globetrotters. Lots of fun. I mean, this time around, I mean, are you anticipating anything different? Is it old hat? Or are you, you know, nervous like you were the first year?
Well, I think, you know, first game or two, there might be a few butterflies and early nerves of, okay, we haven't done this in a few weeks and it's been on the back burner. You know, we put it, you know, under the rug for a while. And, you know, but once, you know, the dust is gone and we're like, okay, you know, we get the wrinkles out, we'll be good to go.
Now, the schedule, is it pretty much the same route year in and year out, or do they mix it up a little bit? Do they start West Coast one year and then work their way back east and then overseas, or is it basically the same thing year in and year out?
Well, Sean, as you know, this is essentially still my first year with the Harlem Globetrotters, and a lot of things are still new to me as well. But what I can tell you is I know that late fall, basically Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, they do two tours. One is a U.S. military-based tour around the world, and also they do an Asia tour. And both of those are roughly 1 month in length before they start the big U.S. North America tours on Christmas Day.
Wow, so you haven't done the U.S. military tour, so that should be a lot of fun. It's always good to give back to our military, the ones who, you know, help us, protect us, and give us the freedoms that we have in the U.S. of A. And so that should be a lot of fun, man. A great experience for you.
Well, we'll see if I'm placed on either of those tours. I do not know yet. I just know that they are coming up and are options. So we'll see if the powers that be want me on either of those tours, and we'll go from there.
Have to speak those things into existence as though they are. Man, But what's going on in the world of sports, man? What's going on up in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, you know, the only thing going right now is the Seattle Mariners, who have actually done okay in the last 3, 4, 5 days. And, you know, they took on the Toronto Blue Jays, who are doing fairly decently this year. And as you know, they have one Josh Donaldson, who homered yesterday at Safeco Field. But nevertheless, the Seattle Mariners found a way to come back and win the game in the bottom of the 10th, thanks to a game-winning, first of his career game-winning home run by Franklin Gutierrez. And also, the Mariners turned a triple play that was 3-6-2-2, not done since, I believe, 1955, a 3-6-2-2. Those of you scoring at home, 3-6-2-2 is first base, shortstop, and catcher for the triple play.
So 3-6-2-2. So there were two plays at the plate, is what you're telling me, to get the second and third out.
You know, Sean, that's a good synopsis, but not exactly what happened. It was really odd. It was base running blunders by the Blue Jays. They had two guys that went to third base. One retreated and one went from second to third. And Mike Zunino, the catcher, who is position number two, if you're scoring at home, tagged both of them and let the umpire decide who was out. And then one of the guys, the Blue Jays, fell to off the base and fell to the ground. And Zunino tagged him. And so both guys were out.
That's just amazing. I wish I could see that. I'll have to pull that up on video to see what a 3-6-2-2 looks like. I'm glad that those types of things are happening up there in the Pacific Northwest, and for Seattle, you know, who has high hopes for a strong season and still have a good chance, 9.5 games out from the top spot and 8 games out from the wild card spot that the Houston Astros now hold. And as you're saying, the Seattle Mariners hit a little bit of a hot streak, moving themselves out of the cellar, who now occupy that spot, the Oakland A's, who it just seems to be getting worse, Sean Wally, players being getting traded away, and the rebuilding begins in Oakland. And so
Yeah, Sean, it's interesting. You know, the Oakland A's aren't too far from the Mariners, but they've had a rough weekend of it there in Oakland. And, you know, you see guys like a Josh Donaldson doing well in Toronto, and you wonder what could have been in Oakland.
Well, you know, I guess the question that I can ask you is, you know, because Billy Beane he's known throughout Major League Baseball. Actually, he's known throughout the sports world as this zany, crazy type of a person that, you know, doesn't really show his loyalties. You know, he builds up quite a few players, and then the next thing you know, they're traded away. And, you know, I guess what my question to you is what are you more loyal to? Because I know that, you know, growing up as an avid athlete, as an avid fan, it was easier to actually root for the name on the front of the jersey as well as the name on the back of the jersey. The name on the back of the jersey is what made the name on the front of the jersey. But nowadays, it's not the case. You have to be loyal to that name on the front of the jersey, because those names on the back of the jersey are here this year and gone the next.
Well, Sean, that's not even the case year by year. It's almost day by day or week by week anymore. The way guys can be sent down to AAA or designated for assignment and just gone, and they end up on another team or they're out of baseball. So, yeah, it's really a big question of whether or not the A's, the Mariners, teams that are struggling, yet maybe they've shown glimpses of, okay, maybe they're in the right direction, yet they're still, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 games back. What do? The big question is, do they sell? Do they buy? Do they stand pat? At least that's the question in Seattle. And it appears that Jack Cirenzik, the GM in Seattle, will probably stay pat. What else can he do? He's already traded for Mark Trumbo. The bullpen is taxed. So it's really tough. You know, you're missing James Paxton in the starting rotation. So, you know, with all the money they spent, Cano, Nelson Cruz, the starting rotation, Fernando Rodney at $14 million, who's faltering this year. Last year, 48 saves. This year, I don't even know if he has eight. But it's a struggle. And if you're Jack Z, you probably have to go with the flow and ride it out.
You know, it's a huge carousel, as you're saying, as the world turns in Major League Baseball. In Oakland, we have definitely sent it in. And, you know, that's a good thing and a bad thing. For us, it's a good thing because when fall rolls around, Sean Wally, which is the greatest time of year for a sports fan, that means that the NFL season is upon us. That means that the baseball field that is in Oakland at the O.co becomes an actual football field most of the time when the Oakland A's are out of the playoffs by week number three. So I look forward to that because the Oakland Raiders, it's going to be a great, great season.
Well, Sean, it's time to go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number one tonight. And that is Courtney May, producer and host of OK Horizons in Oklahoma. Courtney, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Courtney, thanks for being on. And of course, you had a fantastic time down in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago with Sean Wally, and that was with the Global Basketball Summer League. Was that your first year at with the GBSL?
Yes, it was my first year, and it was a wonderful experience. Just honestly, being in Vegas for a week and working, it didn't even really feel like work every day when we got up to go to work. But I got to meet so many people and make so many connections, and just watching basketball every day and people who are about to play on the next level, it was just an awesome experience.
Now, Courtney, you have an awesome, awesome resume. You love sports, and that's something that you want to do going into sports media, graduating from Oklahoma State University. And you also have a cool and interesting background as well along with the FFA. For those of our listeners who don't know, Future Farmers of America, and you stood in one of the higher offices. Actually, you were the president in 2011, 2012. So how do we go from FFA and basketball or sports?
You know, it's funny. I always say that my career is a combination of my two loves. So growing up, I played sports. I played every sport my high school had to offer, and I also did FFA. And I really got involved in public speaking and the leadership side of things. A lot of people, when they think of FFA, they think about animals and farming, which I did all of that as well. But I really got into the public speaking, and I kind of found my niche in extemporaneous public speaking. You would go and you would draw a topic, and you would present a 4 to 6 minute speech over the topic that you just drew. And once I got involved in that, I knew that I wanted to have a career in broadcasting. And growing up an Oklahoma State fan, it was very fitting that they had a sports media program. And I knew that if I had the opportunity, I wanted to go to OSU and major in sports media and combine my love for sports from growing up and playing and also my love for public speaking that I gained through FFA.
Now, Courtney, how did your schooling in sports media at Oklahoma State prepare you for what you're doing, not only with PBS at OK Horizons, but also what you were able to do with the GBSL in Las Vegas?
I think more than anything, just meeting deadlines. That's something that our instructors at Oklahoma State, they always just nailed that into us, was it's all about deadlines. And going into my job at Oklahoma Horizon, I actually started out as an intern, unpaid, and I just, you know, was networking and meeting people and doing everything that I could. I was the first one there in the morning and the last one to leave. And I think that really made an impression on my boss. And so once I landed the job there, I worked part-time there my senior year of college. And I also worked for O-State TV, OSU's broadcasting network. And so there were a lot of sleepless nights, but it was definitely all about creating my own opportunities. And I think that from my schooling at OSU, that's how I landed the job with Oklahoma Horizon. And then from gaining all of that on-air experience and even shooting and being behind the scenes at Oklahoma Horizon, I think that's definitely what helped me land the job with Global Basketball Summer League, all of the experience. And it definitely all started with my schooling at Oklahoma State.
Courtney, what did you think of the competition level at the Global Basketball Summer League in Las Vegas? And what do you take away from that looking back 2-3 weeks ago?
I definitely think the competition level was there. The players, some of the players that we saw, you're thinking, you know, how have they gone unnoticed? Or, you know, how are they not playing at a higher level than what they are? I know a couple of the players, they just had big time games, and you're looking at them hoping, and you're almost like hopeful for them that they can sign somewhere, because the talent's there. It's just all about being at the right place at the right time. And I think that that's what Global Basketball Summer League does for hundreds and hundreds of these players who come in over the summer, and they're getting noticed and they're signing contracts. And yeah, it's granted, it's geared toward overseas, but I think that it's just a wonderful opportunity for so many of these people who are coming out of college and they're looking for that next step, because you're definitely going to get noticed. There were tons of scouts. And I think that the media aspect of Global Basketball Summer League, having the media team there, we're constantly tweeting and posting on Instagram. And that's another way that it's just getting their name out there. And more people were even asking me, you know, what is Global Basketball Summer League? And it's just an opportunity to be able to tell everyone what it's about, what we're doing there. And I had an amazing time. It was a wonderful experience.
Courtney May joining us here on The Double. And Courtney, it does sound like you had an awesome time down there in Las Vegas, and, you know, just wishing you the best on your future endeavors, of course, with Oklahoma Horizons and beyond. Now, you had mentioned earlier about loving to play sports, and, you know, you played flag football, softball, basketball. Is there anything that you don't do?
Well, if someone asked me that the other day, it was funny because I posted a picture of me playing tennis, and I didn't play tennis in high school because my high school didn't offer that sport. But they said, has there ever been a sport that you haven't tried? And I was thinking through my head, and, you know, there's not many. It would have to be, you know, just a really out there sport. I think I've tried almost everything there is. I'm not that great at tennis, and I'm probably one of the most competitive people you will ever meet. And I grew up in an athletic family. My dad was my softball coach, and my grandpa was my summer league softball coach. My mom was my cheerleading coach, and she's now my little brother's golf coach. So my whole family is just very sports oriented. So I grew up in an athletic family, and it was constantly like trying new sports, and I wasn't ever really terrible at anything until I came across tennis. And I'm so bad at it, and I'm so competitive that I'm trying so hard to get good, but it's frustrating. So first sport that I've tried that it's been a struggle.
Well, you know, if we get the chance to meet, guess what sport I'm going to challenge you at?
Tennis. Are you good
at it? It's going to be tennis. I'm not. No. I wish I was, but yeah, if that's a sport that you're not good at, because it sounds like you're just, you tear it up and everything else. But yeah, I would definitely challenge you.
I covered tennis for O State TV, so I know everything you're supposed to know. It's just putting two and two together when you have the racket in your hand. It's a completely different deal than being on the other side of the camera.
That's right. Well, Courtney, I mean, you're so humble in what you do, but you know, and there's a strong passion as well. You can tell there's a passion in all the things that you do. One of the things that we are leaving out is your prowess in Miss America. So you had the chance to be in the Miss America pageant?
I was in Miss Oklahoma, so it's the Miss America system. And I competed in that system for, oh goodness, probably 3 years as a Miss, and then 2 different years as a teen. So I've been in the pageant system for a while. This was actually my last year to compete. They kick you out once you get too old. So apparently I'm too old to be Miss Oklahoma now. But yeah, I've done a little bit of everything. Like you said, FFA and then sports and pageantry. And And I think it's definitely all helped me in my broadcasting career, being able to speak in front of people and the interviews that you go through when you compete in a pageant. It's definitely been helpful for me and the preparation that goes into that. So, yeah, you've done your research.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Courtney. And for those of you who would like the chance to, how could they find out about more about you, Courtney May, and some of the things that you do?
Well, you could follow me on social media. I'm a huge social media person. So, yeah, you could follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm constantly updating about work or even just every time I go to a sporting event, I post a picture, I feel like. So people always think I'm at a baseball game or somewhere, but I'm not. It's my life really isn't too glamorous, I promise. But, yeah, you can follow me on any of my social media platforms.
Now, Courtney, you've been able to take your passion for pageantry and attempting to be Miss Oklahoma, which you were pretty darn close this last June. And how do you take that passion and move it to the sports world and what you want to do moving forward?
You know, it's funny. My paperwork for Miss Oklahoma, you have to turn in a resume and you also turn in your platform statement, but a lot of my paperwork talked about broadcasting and it asked you, you know, your future goals and everything. And a lot of my goals and ambitions in broadcasting dealt in with sports. And so this past year for Miss Oklahoma, almost all of my interview questions were about current events in sports. And I'm like so excited as we're going through interview because they're asking me all of these sports questions. So it's just like the perfect interview for me ever. And so that it kind of like put two and two together. It was like my love for sports transitioned into my interview for Miss Oklahoma, which you never think that would happen. But I know that my pageant directors always said anytime I got asked a sports question, my eyes just lit up and you could tell that I'm really passionate about it. And I think that's what's important is you have to find what really drives you and what makes you go. And there's a reason why I'm in the broadcasting industry and there's a reason why it's sports. And I always say I'm the person who doesn't want any attention, and which is funny because I'm going into TV, but I really don't, you know, want to be in the spotlight or want all of the attention. It's more about, for me, I want to do sideline reporting. So what I always want to do is just bring something to the viewer that they wouldn't know from sitting at home and watching it on their television. So it's really about getting the inside scoop and learning about the players and the coaches and getting, you know, inside stories that the viewer at home wouldn't know if they were just watching the game. So.
Now, Courtney, I know that one of the highlights, or maybe the number one highlight of the GBSL, the Global Basketball Summer League in Las Vegas for you, was getting the chance to interview fellow OSU grad Anthony Hickey. What was that like for you?
Yes, I was so excited. You know, we didn't get a list of the players ahead of time. We got a couple days in advance, and we were scrolling through him. Well, I guess he had signed up a little late and, you know, his picture wasn't on there. So I didn't realize immediately that he was going to be there. And I saw him playing and I was so excited because Oklahoma State, if you've ever been there, it's just such a tight-knit community. And the school is, even though it's a pretty large school, everyone knows everyone. So when I saw Anthony there, I was so excited. And then I got to interview him afterwards. And I know that he was excited about that. He thanked me like 15 times for interviewing him after. But it was definitely good to see a familiar face in Vegas.
And that's one of the great things about the Global Basketball Summer League is these players, not only are they looking for that opportunity internationally, up in Canada, they're looking for that next contract or maybe their first professional contract, but they're very appreciative of being able to get interviewed and get on camera and help their story get out there.
Right. And they were coming up to us, you know, can you interview me? And we were trying to interview as many players as we could, but yeah, they want their story out there and they're trying to really brand themselves and let people know what they have to offer, especially all these scouts who were at Global Basketball Summer League. And obviously they're, you know, playing on the court, but for all those people who are watching, I mean, I know half my hometown was you know, keeping up with what we were posting on YouTube, and just to be able to see these players, so many people were so excited to see Anthony Hickey because it is a familiar face. And like you said, the players are just, they're really grateful for the opportunity to be there and have the media there, because it's an aspect that a lot of these other, the other summer leagues don't have to offer. So their content's getting posted on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, and all these people are sharing it and favoriting it, and it's just really getting their name out there and helping them brand themselves.
For those of you just tuning in, Courtney May joining us here on The Double with the Double S Express. And right along the theme of Sean Wally with OSU grads, you also had the chance to, I believe, interview, or you do know Ricky Fowler, PGA golfer,
yes.
Ricky Fowler?
Yes,
oh, wow.
Surprisingly enough, yes. I've actually met him a few different times. And it's funny because when I was in high school, Ricky was like my celebrity crush. I played golf since I was 5 years old, so I grew up going to professional tournaments. And the first time I ever met him was at the Byron Nelson, and he had just left OSU, and I was going into OSU. I would have been a freshman. And I was so nervous. I tried to get his autograph, and I didn't even say one word. I ended up getting his autograph somehow with, like, hand motions. I don't really know how it happened because I didn't say one word to him because I was so nervous. And then I ended up coming to OSU, and I had a class with his best friend from high school. They grew up together, and we became really good friends. And I, every time Ricky would come into town, we would all get together and go eat dinner or something. So, and we would joke about the time that, and of course he doesn't remember. He meets like thousands of people a day. So he had no idea I was that weird, awkward girl that didn't say two words to him and somehow got his autograph. But we would all, I would joke about it later, and he thought it was hilarious. So
now, Courtney, yeah, I'm a little surprised that you didn't try your luck at professional golf. What happened?
That was my longtime dream, actually, was to play on the LPGA Tour. And actually, it's still like a secret dream of mine in the back of my head. I still play all the time. I actually just got a new set of clubs for Christmas, so I like to go out and play when I can. I played in high school, and that's another thing that I grew up doing with my dad. Since I was probably 4 or 5 years old, I had a golf club in my hand, and I was with my dad because I never wanted to leave his side. I was daddy's little girl, and he played golf, so I played golf, and it's something that I really wish I would have stuck with more. Now it's more of a hobby, but I always joke with my little brother. My little brother is a big-time golfer. Every other weekend, he's in another state playing somewhere. And I always joke with him that I'm going to be his caddy one day when he makes it on the tour. Of course, there's not that many girl caddies, but he's like, I don't think that you can keep up. And I'm like, we'll see. So maybe if I don't make it on the LPGA Tour, which is not looking very good for me right now, maybe I could at least be my little brother's caddy one day.
Now, Courtney, there are some opportunities as far as the USGA is concerned, and Fox has taken on some things this year as far as golf, you know, actually hosting the U.S. Open that I had the chance to work at Chambers Bay. And so I don't know what you would call it. I don't know if you would call it an on-course reporter or, you know, but you're saying a sideline reporter is something that you would like to do. But, if there was ever an opportunity, it would be that in golf.
Oh, yes. People always ask me if my dream job is ESPN, which, you know, ESPN kind of sets the tone for sports. But it would be a dream come true if I could work for the Golf Channel. Literally, when I'm home with my parents, the television in our house, I swear, does not come off of the Golf Channel. My mom, my grandma, my little brother, dad, they can tell you every single golfer's name on the tour. And even like the Canadian Tour and the Latin American Tour, they know like all of them. So it's so funny. But actually, a person that I really looked up to was Holly Saunders, and she doesn't work for the Golf Channel anymore. But when she did a lot of the on-course reporting. And I know that she reported at the NCAA tournament when it was in Kansas and Oklahoma State was playing, and she interviewed a few of our players. So I always really looked up to her. But yes, I would, if I had to cover one particular sport, I would love to cover golf.
Well, we look forward to seeing you doing that in front of a television near us. And so, you know, we wish you the best of luck on this. I do have to ask you this, Courtney, because you work with Sean Wally down at the GBSL. How'd he do? Was he as good as he advertises to me, or how did he do down there?
Well, no, I'm just kidding. But he was sick.
I love
it. It gave him a really hard time about that. We're like, are you really sick? And, you know, just joking around. And we went into his room. There's like NyQuil and DayQuil and like all of these salts and everything that you can imagine to like try to make yourself not sick anymore. We're like, okay, we believe you now. We don't think that you would spend $100 on, you know, all this medicine for not being sick. But no, it was definitely a great experience. And, you know, it was helpful to have Sean there, who's been there before, to kind of help us, you know, learn the ropes. And because we are all professionals, and so it is kind of just like, okay, this is your thing, do it. But having someone who's been there before was really beneficial to us who have never been there, because he knows how everything works. He knows the coaches, you know, he knows he has relationships with these people that's helpful for us. And he can relay messages to us about what they did last year. So it was a good time, and it was really helpful to have Sean there.
Well, Courtney, I guarantee you I wouldn't miss an opportunity to work with you if I was not definitely under the weather. And what I have to say is, outside of yourself, the possibly the most famous Oklahoma State alum, and hopefully you know the name, that I had a chance to meet a few years ago with the Seattle Supersonics, a team you might know something about, Desmond Mason, former Oklahoma State Cowboy, I had a chance to meet on the court in Seattle and get a photo with. So it's a real close race between you and him, who might be the most famous OSU alum.
That's funny. Yeah. You know what's even funnier is Desmond Mason actually judged Miss Oklahoma the year before I was in it for the first time. And I was thinking, oh, man, you know, if he could have just judged Miss Oklahoma the year that I was in it, you know, we could have talked sports in the interview, but it didn't happen. So, but it's just funny how that connects.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much for your time, your insight. It was fabulous getting to meet you in Las Vegas with the Global Basketball Summer League. And you can follow Courtney on Twitter at @MAYE_Courtney, CourtneyMay. Courtney May, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Courtney, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
There goes Courtney May from Oklahoma. Sean Boyd, I do believe, our very first guest from the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, you know, you'd mentioned, you know, all-time greats as far as athletes were concerned. I thought you were going to say that you'd met Barry Sanders, but yeah, you know, you pulled out Desmond Mason, so we can go ahead and keep that one. I would have probably said Barry Sanders as one as the all-time great, but that's just me. So not that I had met.
I mean, you know, maybe if you've met Barry Sanders, then go ahead and tell Courtney that. I mean, I haven't. So,
man, so it sounds like you had a lot of fun down there at the GBSL. And Courtney is awesome, awesome people, getting a chance to talk with her and get to know her. But now, Sean Wally, you will have a new nickname, and that will be AKA the Medicine Man.
Yeah, Courtney pretty much threw me under the bus there for sure.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have guest number two, and that is Jim Moore from 710 ESPN. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you too would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And we welcome in big time guest number two tonight. And that is Jim Moore, otherwise known as the go-to guy on 710 ESPN Seattle with Danny, Dave, and Moore. Jim, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Well, good. We're just going to get right into it with the go-to guy, Jim. And, of course, we have training camp that has started in the NFL up in the Pacific Northwest, and the Seattle Seahawks have gotten it going this week. So, you know, what are some of the bright spots early on as far as some of the youngsters?
Well, you know, a lot of different things are up in the air. They're still trying to get a deal done with Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner. There's some injury concerns, but, I mean, going into training camp, you look at the Seahawks with adding Jimmy Graham. We talked to John Clayton today. He feels like they averaged 24.6 points a game last year, and he feels like with Jimmy Graham it could go up to around 27, and we know what a threat he can be in the red zone. And you add another taller target, too, in Chris Matthews, and so the offense should take a step forward this year. And so if you have some issues on defense, which you don't anticipate, but at least there'd be a bigger room, bigger margin for error, I would think, where the defense doesn't have to completely shut down teams for the Seahawks to win.
Now, Jim, you'd mentioned Russell Wilson and the saga that will continue here as far as the contract is concerned. So it sounds like there was a great deal of money that was offered to him, and he decided that he would turn it down. So what would make Russell Wilson turn down a great deal of money like that?
Well, that was something we talked to the professor about today, too, and he's baffled by it because it's hard to make up that money no matter what you do down the road. If you play for 1.5 this year instead of taking 20 or 21 or 22 or whatever you think the Seahawks might be offering, and you look at the difference there being $18 to $20 million over what he's going to make this year, and that Wilson apparently feels like maybe down the road that he can make that up if he were to make $25 million a year next year, getting the franchise tag, and then beyond that, maybe even getting as much as $30 million the way these things are going, so who knows. But it's one of those things where it depends on who you talk to. There are some people who feel like, he'll get it done Thursday before training camp. And so some people are expecting that we'll have a press conference on Thursday where everyone's happy, everyone's shaking hands, photo ops, and Wilson's going to sign the contract. But I just have a feeling, and keep in mind, too, that I'm generally wrong about most stuff. So take it with a grain of salt here. I don't think he's going to sign it. I think he's going to show up, and I just get the feeling that he's going to play for $1.5 million and roll the dice.
Now, Jim, you threw a figure out there. Of course, you know, Aaron Rodgers being the highest paid football player in the NFL, $22 million. But you threw a figure of $25 million. Do you think that that is the round figure that Russell's asking for?
Well, it seems that way, and I think he's worth it. I'm in the camp of give Russell the moon. If he wants the moon, give it to him. Although I understand that there are other things you need to be concerned about, such as Bobby Wagner and keeping your core players here in Seattle, because they can't do it all with just Russell Wilson. But, you know, a lot of people are saying that where would he be without Marshawn Lynch and that defense that he has? But I just wonder where the Seahawks would be without Russell Wilson. I'd rather take my chances without Marshawn Lynch and then having Russell Wilson as your quarterback than the other way around. I think, I don't know, don't you guys think that you can agree with this, can't you? Do you really think they would have gone to two Super Bowls if Tavares Jackson had been the quarterback? I just have a feeling that they would have had a better chance of going to the Super Bowl with Wilson as the quarterback, and if you had another running back that wasn't Marshawn Lynch, then the other way around.
Touche, touche.
So, yeah, you're on board with that? I mean, so the guys I work with, they love Marshawn, and I like him too, but I just feel like Wilson's more valuable to the team.
Jim, I think you're on point there, because, yes, Marshawn Lynch is phenomenal. Everybody loves Beast Mode and the Beast Quakes and the run he had last year in Arizona. But you take the running back away, you can put somebody in who's halfway serviceable. You take a Russell Wilson away, who is the winningest quarterback in 3 years, bar none. Beats Joe Montana, beats Dan Marino, beats Bart Starr, beats Kenny Stabler, you name it, beats any quarterback in the history of the NFL, and now he's quabbling over 21, 22, 25 million. If you're Paul Allen, why do you not pony up that extra 2, 3, 4 million? And that's probably directed at, you know, a John Schneider and a Pete Carroll.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that maybe they, I don't know if you saw the piece last week with that Mike Sando wrote from ESPN.com as an insider piece talking about, he had interviews with different general managers and assistant coaches around the league, defensive and offensive coordinators, and all anonymously, and they were saying Russell Wilson. Some of them were saying he was a tier one, where top-level premier quarterback. Some were saying tier two, where, yeah, they acknowledge that he's good but not great. And then I think even one guy had him at tier three that was more of a game manager type quarterback. And I guess maybe the Seahawks look at him as being a tier one minus and maybe a tier two plus and don't necessarily want to give him Aaron Rodgers type money. They acknowledge how good he is, but they don't want to give him that much money. And part of it, too, I think, is concerns about the rest of the team and trying to retain some of the other players that they have. And so if they give Russell too much, they won't be able to do that. But I would hate to see this team without Russell Wilson. It's not going to happen anytime soon, but I think so much of the guy. And, you know, the other thing, you guys watch him. I mean, you see his scrambling ability. He rushed for 850 yards. And I'm with you on that one, Sean, because I think that Tom Cable, I remember last spring sometime, said something about, If Marshawn Lynch didn't report, I think Lynch didn't show up for some practices or something. And he was saying, Cable, the offensive line coach, was saying, I think we can run for 1,000 yards no matter who the back is. So I just, and you know, if the downgrade you would have at running back isn't as severe as the downgrade you'd have at quarterback from Wilson to T-Jack, from Lynch to whoever you want to say, I still think the Seahawks would be more effective with Wilson than they would be without Lynch.
So, Jim, with all your knowledge, your background in sports writing and covering teams with the Seattle PI to your now sports broadcasting on the radio at 710 ESPN, how do you see this ironing out? Does Russell Wilson sign a long-term deal soon, or do they end up franchising him for the next couple years in Seattle?
Well, it's just a guess, but I think he's going to play for the 1.5. So if I were in Vegas right now and I had to bet one way or the other, I would bet that he's going to play for the 1.5. And I think he just seems to go against the grain sometimes. He still believes that he could play baseball. And everybody looks at his minor league stats and goes, yeah, right, Russell, you can't do that. I think when he's told that he can't do something, he really wants to prove that he can. And I don't know. I feel like he, and this is just, again, me guessing, I feel like he feels like the Seahawks are disrespecting him in a little way, because he's probably thinking, well, now, wait a minute. I've taken you to 2 Super Bowls. Look at my playoff record of 6-2. Look at what I've done. I've done everything you've asked me to do, and now you're not going to pay me? You've had a bargain for 3 years, and now you're not going to pay me? And so he can't have these big passing numbers because of their offense. But when you combine his passing numbers with his rushing totals, he's up there with all of them. Brady, Rodgers, all of these guys. Roethlisberger, he's in the same neighborhood, so I don't quite understand it.
Jim Moore joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, you know, Jim, Sean, and I were talking about this earlier, this very thing. And one of the things that I believe that Russell Wilson benefits from is the fact that he's a part of a great system. Now, I understand that he might want to test the free agency after this year. As you're saying, he might take the 1.5. But, you know, if I'm another organization, a GM, owner, do I take the gamble knowing that Seattle has just the ultimate team set up, and that's from top to bottom? Do I take the gamble and trying to throw out big figures like 23, 24 million, knowing that I probably don't have the infrastructure in place as Seattle?
Well, maybe. I look at Wilson and could be wrong, but I like to think that if you put him in Green Bay's offense or Pittsburgh's offense or Tennessee's or even Jacksonville's, whichever offense you want to name, I think he'd go there and be successful. I get sick of, well, if it wasn't for Marshawn Lynch and if it wasn't for that great defense, and I'm thinking, what games are you guys watching? This guy's sensational in my book. I don't understand it. I think he could, and was it Danny O'Neill who I work with, and he, you know, he calls himself a Seahawks insider, and for good reason. He's really dialed in with what's going on with the team, but I think he's got some concerns about Wilson in the pocket and that he doesn't release it as quick as some other quarterbacks. Or, you know, his decision making is good. We know about his touchdown to interception ratio is sensational, but maybe there's some concerns there. But I'd like to take my chances. I'd bet on Russell Wilson in a passing offense. I think it'd be fun to see if he took Peyton Manning's place in Denver to once and for all prove that he could lead a passing offense. But there's still that rap and that perception that he couldn't do it.
Now, you know, Jim, one of the things that fans or people don't really talk about as far as the structure of the organization is the coaching staff. Over the past few years, the Seattle Seahawks have lost the likes of Gus Bradley to Jacksonville. He's the head coach there, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dan Quinn this past year with the Atlanta Falcons. And this is one that I'm really paying a close eye and a close attention to. Ken Norton Jr. actually becoming the defensive coordinator in Oakland. Now, when it's almost like you're playing Jenga or you know, pulling the cards, you know, from a house of cards, trying to figure out how strong is your foundation. I'm thinking that the loss of Ken Norton Jr. could be very, very big for the Legion of Boom in the defense.
Well, you could be right, because at some point, you'd think that when all these coaches leave that they'd suffer as a result down the road. But, boy, there have been no signs of it so far. So, yeah, I think Ken Norton, he's a real vocal leader with this team, or he was. And so I think they're probably going to feel the loss of him. It's interesting, though, Chris Richard coming in, the new defensive coordinator. He's a vocal guy, too, and he's full of confidence. And these guys just seem to they replace one coach with another who comes in and might have a few different wrinkles, but it's just business as usual, and they just keep going.
Now, Jim, across the street from CenturyLink Field, Safeco Field in Seattle, the Seattle Mariners, hey, they won a game yesterday, so let's praise that. Franklin Gutierrez, the big game-winning home run in the bottom of the 10th, his first game-winning home run of his career. Is anything going to happen in the next week with the trading deadline, Jack Z staying pat? What do you think?
I think that I don't think Zarensic is going to – there's no way that he's going to sell. If he were earlier in his tenure, I think he would look at it and go, all right, well, let's see. We're 6.5, 7 games out of this one-game wild card. I'm going to take a run at it here. But we're in year 7, and it's he knows that he needs to make the playoffs to keep his job. And I don't necessarily – I don't know if you – do you really want him to make the moves, though? That's the thing. If you're ownership, do you want Jack Zarensic to be the guy that pulls the trigger on these trade deadline moves? I'm not so sure if I want Zarensic to make any more moves, because you're probably going to have a new general manager coming in. So I think in good conscience, he feels like he needs to probably make a move to improve his team, especially with the Astros, the moves that they've made with getting Kazmir, and they're already ahead, up there with the Angels in the division. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to play out, but I would tend to think that they're probably going to hold and that they're not really going to buy or sell, and the only thing they'd bring in is probably a backup catcher.
Do you have any faith in the Mariners standing pat that the guys can actually perform as they were expected preseason?
Yeah, well, it's hard to figure them out, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to give up on them. We were talking about it today. You look at them, and they're, 46-53, and they just took 2 or 3 from the Blue Jays. And Zunino's warming up, and Seager's been hot. I like that they have Seager, Cruz, and Cano hitting 2, 3, 4 in the lineup now. And so there's still some reasons for hope, but not. I don't want to pull the plug on them yet.
Yeah, Jim, I think there's too many games left, and you have to always hold out hope, hold out faith. I mean, your good buddy with 710 there, G. Scott, said a couple weeks ago, you always have to have faith. And, that's got to be what guides the Mariners moving forward. And one guy that was up before the All-Star break, Jesus Montero, you've been high on for a long time. He's with the Tacoma Rainiers once again. But, hey, he was hitting over 300 with the Mariners, yet they shipped him back down. Your thoughts?
I just laugh about that one, because he was 2 for 2 on the day that they shipped him back down. And I understand why they did it, because they did it over the All-Star break, because they could send Jay Happ down to the minor leagues, and since he wasn't starting before the All-Star break, and get 5 games out of Montero. But with Montero, it's just a bunch of why nots with me at this point. I mean, why not have him on your team and see what he can do for you? Again, just like with Russell Wilson, if I'm Montero, I'm going, well, wait a minute, I think I've lost weight. I've done everything you want me to do. I'm hitting .338 in the PCL with the Rainiers. And, of course, a lot of people always go, yeah, well, that's minor league pitching more. Why do you keep saying bringing that up? And I go, well, okay. Back in 2012, he hit .262 with 15 home runs and 62 runs batted in as an overweight younger player. And he's learned the game more now. He's slimmed down. And the one thing is that if he's such a terrible catcher, which I guess we all agree he was, that leads me to believe that he's even a better hitter than what we thought when he first came here. Because if Zarensic liked him that much that he was willing to trade Michael Pineda for him, then let's see what the kid has hitting-wise, because he was an awful catcher, so he's supposed to be a great hitter, so why not give him a chance? I mean, 250, this guy, look at what, I don't know why I'm getting so worked up. I guess I just do, because I just think it's so crazy. Logan Morrison's hitting .147 over his last 30 games, and yet we hang in there with Logan Morrison, because I think we all like him, but it's not like he's a sacred cow and you can't move him. So, and again, getting back to the why not, you're 46-53. Why not just try something different? Well, what's going to happen? What if Montero comes up and hits 200? And then you just go, well, okay, it didn't work out. Well, so what? It's not like your season's shot anyway, so why not give it a shot?
I think, Jim, one of the things that we can learn is that being a front office person, you have to have many, many bottles of Tums to actually pull the trigger and make these moves for your organization.
Bottles
or franchise.
Of Tums? I think you need bottles of tequila, John. Come on. Bottles of Tums?
Yeah, let's go there. Let's go. Since it was National Tequila Day, I think it was a couple of days ago. Yeah, bottles of tequila, that would definitely work. But, speaking of... Now, are you getting a chance to get around to some of the parks from time to time? What's your flavor of beer of choice here?
my flavor of beer? It probably just depends on what's in front of me. I really don't care. I'll have a PBR, or I'll have a Rainier, or I'll have a Coors Light, or I like a good microbrew too, or an IPA. I like Manny's. I like Silver City, Mirror Pond, just whatever. I can't drink that many microbrews in a row, though. You know, Coors Light, you can have four or five, and if you're golfing, and maybe even keep going. But with the microbrews, I can't. Two or three, two is about all I have of those anymore.
And of course, our listeners are probably going, "What in the world is going on? What just happened to the show?" Of course, Jim, being a connoisseur of sorts, that's the reason why I threw that one out there. But, the microbrews, no. That's what you're saying? You're not a microbrew fan?
No, I like them a lot. I just, I can't have more than a couple, maybe three, and I get just bloated and I'm done. But, no, usually if I go out to dinner or something, I'll have an IPA or something. But if I'm out golfing, I just like to have a lighter beer.
Jim Moore joining us from Danny David Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Jim, what's the latest on Willie, your golden retriever? What is Willie up to today?
Well, he's standing right next to me right now. He's kind of wandering around. We got in trouble today, though. I'm out at Ravensdale Park. My kids have a baseball tryout, I guess, for one of these club teams, and so I'm not exactly sure what's going on over there. But we got in trouble earlier today because I was at a park, and I was preparing for the show in my truck, and I was just, listening to some other shows and just basically doing what I usually do, preparing for the show. And I thought, while I'm doing that, I was going to let Willie just run around a little bit. And there was a lady there that did not like that my dog was off leash. She was concerned that he might get hit by a car in the parking lot. And instead of coming over to me to say, "Hey, is this your dog? Be careful of the car," or whatever. I mean, I would have thought she would come over to me. She called the Humane Society and made a big deal out of it and took down my license number. And so I wanted to tell her, "Hey, my dog's 12 years old. I think I've been taking pretty good care of him. He's made it this far. I think I'm keeping a pretty good eye on him, and I just am trying to let him get out and get some exercise while I'm working." And it escalated into a not very fun scene, Sean.
Well, Jim, if I'm not mistaken,
in fact, I said to her, I said something about, "You need to get a bleeping life, lady." And then she said, she said, "I have a life."
Oh, my goodness.
She goes, "I have a life." And so I said to her, "Well, it must be a bleepy one then." For her to take the time to come over and want to bust me for, whatever I was doing wrong with my dog, who's just sitting here, and he appears to be fairly happy right now.
So apparently Willie is enjoying On the Double with the Double S Express is what you're telling us, Jim.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, he's just kind of hanging out. He found a rock. If he doesn't have a ball, he'll find a rock to play with. And yeah, so I admit it. I'm a dog guy. I love my golden retriever. And I take him pretty much everywhere.
Thanks, Jim. The Double S Express or a rock?
No, he loves your show, too.
I love it.
Yeah, he can't get enough of you guys.
All right, Jim, so you spent years at the Seattle PI, and you've been at 710 ESPN Seattle for, geez, you look at the calendar, it's been a few years as well. What do you prefer, the sports writer in you, or is the microphone at 710 ESPN Seattle growing on you?
Well, it's growing on me, but I'm never totally comfortable doing it. I get nervous every single day when I go to work, and I never got nervous writing columns or writing game stories. So I don't think you ever lose the newspaper guy in you, at least I haven't. And I still miss being a sports writer, but on the other hand, it's probably good for me to get out of my comfort zone, and I really feel grateful and thankful and all those kinds of words for having the job that I have there at the radio station. There's not a single day where I go in there and take it for granted, because I just am so darn appreciative to have the job.
Well, Jim, you're doing a great job, and we are thankful that you've been able to, you know, whenever Sean and I have been able to work games at CenturyLink Field in Seattle or possibly across the street at Safeco Field, that we've been able to meet you and shake your hand and thank you for the great job you've done, and keep up the good work. And we thank you for your time, and we'll hope to see you this football season at CenturyLink.
Definitely.
Man, you guys are really nice.
We're really taking nice pictures out of your book,
Thanks
Jim.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Man, you rock. You rock, Jim.
All right, thanks. I appreciate you having me.
That's Jim Moore. Thank you for your time, Jim. You can follow Jim at Cougs Go, K-O-U, or I'm sorry, C-O-U. Wow. Okay. C-O-U-G-S-G-O, Cougs Go, a big Washington State Cougar. That's Jim Moore.
And if you guys don't believe that Jim Moore is a Coug, when you call him on his phone, which you won't get the number, the Washington State fight song is playing as his ringtone.
Absolutely. I can attest to
right
that. His number's in my phone, and that's what pops up anytime you call the go-to guy, Jim Moore, Sean Boyd.
Well, man, that's a whole nother subject. Of course, college football will be upon us here soon, and we'll get a chance to possibly have Jim on the show again, and we'll talk about the Cougs and all of the things that are going on there and their hopeful season in the Pac-12. And, you know, we kind of ask him what he thinks about those dogs up in Mountain Lake too. So we'd love to have him back on the show for that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not thrilled to have to talk about the Huskies on 710 ESPN Seattle, but that's definitely a part of his job on air. So he does it well, and we'll see, you know, the Pac-12 this fall is, you know, it's going to be interesting. Not only what teams do well and who might peak higher than expected, but at the same time, what games and events you and I might work for the network.
Yeah. You know, that'd be cool to get a chance to touch base with Jim there. And, you know, maybe when, the Huskies come down and play one of the Northern California schools, whether it's Stanford or Cal, probably get a chance to meet with them then. Of course, you'll get a chance to meet with them a little bit more than I. Well, you know, maybe not, because you'll probably be on the road, man. But either way, you know, we're going to get in contact with Jim, and we'll have a good old time.
Well, Sean, I got to tell you, and I got to send a shout out and a big thank you to one Tom Fitzgerald, a guy you were able to meet at the U.S. Open working for Fox
Yes.
Sports. He and I were able to meet up today. He came by, said, hello, how you doing? On his way, get this, to Portland for the Aerosmith concert tomorrow night. So Tom Fitzgerald and not one, but two of his kids. He took his younger kids. Obviously, his kids are younger than him. Wow. Okay, Sean. But yeah, he was on his way to Portland for the Aerosmith concert, and we were able to connect, and he came by, said hi, and he said, you know, I really enjoyed meeting Sean Boyd. He was a great guy, great worker, loved to meet the other half of the Double S Express, and, you know, working the U.S. Open with Sean Boyd was great.
Man, you know, Tom, you know, when you said that he's going down to the Aerosmith concert, that is awesome, man. He's taking his boys down there, and I'm sure back in the day, Tom was just, you know, probably one of the biggest Aerosmith fans, and still is, but I can only imagine. And correct me if I'm wrong. So I'm trying to, you know, stretch my my music prowess out here. Aerosmith saying,
oh goodness.
Was it Love in an Elevator? Was that the...
That's one of them. That's one of many.
Man, okay, all right. You know, I'm doing my thing. I am maxed out on my rock music, classic rock music, so I did...
You know, maybe if Don is paying attention back at the BBS studios, he might be able to find some kind of Aerosmith anything to play here in the, as we close. But yeah, you know, Tom with his son and daughter in tow heading to Portland for Aerosmith. And, you know, Tom Fitzgerald was key in getting Jordan Babineau on the show with us earlier in the year. And there may be one more surprise, a big prowess NFL guest, courtesy of Tom Fitzgerald, later in the coming weeks.
Well, you know, Tom was awesome to work with, you know, attention to detail type of a person. And, you know, I really learned a lot from Tom. And so getting a chance to be up there at the U.S. Open and you know, sharing some ideas and, you know, he getting a chance to mention how much he admires our show. That's, you know, that's great stuff, man. I mean, that means that we're doing the right thing. We're on the right track and we just got to keep it up.
And yeah, I'm hoping they're listening there down in Portland and they made the trek safely and, you know, they're relaxing and having a good time listening to On the Double and getting set for Aerosmith tomorrow. Tom Fitzgerald doing great things as a producer for ESPN and the NFL Network locally in the Seattle area.
Well, man, I hope you have a lot of fun down there, Tom, and, you know, with you and the boys and, you know, look forward to chatting with you soon. And of course, you know, we have a lot of listeners, you know, on the double here. And so, you know, that's great. That's great, Sean. You know, I did want to send a shout out to some of our listeners down in the southeastern portion of the United States. Baton Rouge, Louisiana is tuned in to On the Double with the Double S Express. And had the Wilson family reunion down there, and they're saying that they are definitely listening and, you know, want us to keep up the great work, man.
Well, hey, we appreciate any and everybody that listens, whether the West Coast, the East Coast, North, South, the Left Coast, the Right Coast, it doesn't matter. Internationally, hey, we can be found in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, you name it, anywhere I've been, or even if I haven't been, or maybe somewhere you've been or haven't been, Mr. Boyd. But the bottom line is we like any and all listeners, and it is amazing to have you on board. And hey, feel free to call the show at some point, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Write it down, put it in your phone, give us a call sometime, Mondays, 7 p.m. Pacific USA time.
And so how can our listeners get a hold of us if they don't listen to us live, Sean Wally, on bbsradio.com/DSX?
Too many options, almost too many to even recite. You know, iTunes, if you have an iPhone, we have a Double S Express podcast via iTunes. You can go to bbsradio.com/DSX. As many of you may be listening right now, all of our archives are there from show one to this one, show 113, which will be on demand sometime on Tuesday. You know, there's Stitcher Radio's got a bunch of them. Our own website, double-s-express.com. A lot of options for On the Double.
And you did it, man. I knew you could. Oh, man, show number 113, guest number one, we had the, man, the ever so busy, just keeping herself in the mix, Courtney May from Oklahoma Horizons, joining us and, of course, helped with along with Sean Wally down in the Global Basketball Summer League down in Las Vegas. It was great having Courtney May on the show as guest number one. And then guest number...
Sean, let's look at this. We've had myself from the GBSL, Cottrell Macklin, a contributor for here on the double with the GBSL, Ricky Cleveland George, a coach with the GBSL, Daryl Reshaw, the executive director of the GBSL, Lewis Lofton, a coach and former professional player with the GBSL, John White, a coach and former professional player as well with the GBSL, so many people, and now Courtney May with the GBSL, and let's not forget, what, 2 weeks ago, Egidio DeLue.
Yes.
With the GBSL. So, you know, we're hitting about, you know, 80, 85% of the GBSL.
you know, I sense a trend.
Hey,
you know, nothing against
if you're not if you're not with the GBSL, I guess you're left out.
Hey, and nothing against our previous guest of the Global Basketball Summer League, but gosh, you know, I gotta tell you, Courtney May is probably the best guest that we've had from the GBSL. I'm just gonna go ahead and throw that one out there, Sean Wally. You don't have to do it. I'll throw it out there for you.
And Sean, why would you come to that conclusion?
Well, you know, I mean, come on. We have so many guys on the show. You know, it's great to have, you know, Courtney coming in. Yeah, you know, well, not just a female. She's smart, intelligent. She does a lot of things. She plays sports, for crying out loud. I mean, isn't that like, anyway, you know, I'm not even going to get into that. But it was awesome having Courtney May, guest number one, on the show. And, of course, guest number two, Jim Moore from the Danny, Dave, and Moore show on 710 ESPN in Seattle. Having fun with Jim, talking various things, talking about the M's, talking about the Seahawks, all things Pacific Northwest, and more importantly, talking about Willie, the Golden Retriever. Hey, Willie, thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express as well. Man, Sean Wally Show number 113 in the books. We are moving right along.
And so, you know, Sean, 113. I hope you're sitting down. Can you even fathom that number? I mean, you know, back when we started, show number one, Ruthie Bolton, Eric Williams, then of the Tacoma News Tribune, Seahawks insider, now with ESPN out of San Diego. Goodness.
Man. Yeah.
That was show number one. Do you know how long ago that was? That was almost 2.5 years ago.
You know,
are you kidding me?
We're almost in the seasoned realm. So, you know, I think that, you know, that's awesome, man. We're above 100, and we're going to shoot this thing towards 200, and you know, we know we've got a great deal of listeners, and we thank you guys for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. As Don Newsom.
There we go!
Throws Don us out.
Putting in work. Attaboy, Don.
He's going to lead us out with some Aerosmith. For Sean Wally, great, I'm Sean Boyd, and Don Newsom, the engineer.
There you go.
Man, we're hitting the
Tyler.
Boy, I'm telling you, we're going to end this show out just like that. Hey, thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.